whatever we do, we want to do it right. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Whatever we do, we want to do it right. How many of our parents have taught us that whatever we do, we should do with all of our heart, do it correctly, do it right. Do it so that we can be proud of it. Do it so that every little task that we do with love. Whether we are working as a janitor, cleaning the floors, polishing the desks of the office building, whether we are a farmer and running our straight rows out through the field and coming to the to a tree or something that we want to skip, we go right on the other side of the tree and continue with our straight row. There's nobody who's saying you have to do that. There is no technology that says that's the way it must be done. There is no father or ruler who's going to say, that's what I ordered you to do, now do it. Most of the time, if we are given the opportunity to go out and do something, we do it right. That's our nature. It's the nature of humanity to do everything that they do right. In the CERN program over in Switzerland, in Geneva, they built this tremendous reactor, this tremendous collider. And it cost billions and billions and billions of dollars before billions of dollars were, well, billions of dollars were still a lot of dollars. And it was built by men who were paid a high price to do everything right. They were paid for their skill and their technology. They were paid to be the finest and the best in their field. Yet one soldering joint caused the entire thing to blow up. One carelessness on the part of a particular worker, whoever it may have been, made the billion-dollar operation just blow up. Now, who would know who did that poor welding job? Who did that poor soldering job? Well, now, the technicians who were there hired to do that, any one of them could have had a bad day. Any one of them could have had a moment of forgetfulness, being called away by somebody else and coming back and thinking that he did something well where he really hadn't finished it. We live in a world in which everything we do perfect. If we're called away for our lunch break, we first finish that weld that we're on. We don't start a weld that's going to take a length of time that's going to be longer than we have to give to it before that's our coffee break or our lunch break. We do things that we can do and complete in that time. Because when we come back, we don't want to have to say, let's see, you know, this is where I was working. Oh, yes, I tied a ribbon around there. I put a piece of tape on this here. Well, someone might come along and take the tape off for some reason. Things might change. But if we finish every welding joint that we do, every soldering joint that we do, perfectly as we do it, then we don't have to have anybody come along and say, I worked up to here. It's obvious you worked up to here, because the rest of them are not soldered. It's obvious that you dusted to here, because the rest of the table is not dusted. Well, I had dusted everything, but the thing is, then there was an earthquake, and it shook the house, and all that dust came down. Well, wonderful, the house is still there, isn't it? Go back and do all the dusting you did, do all the vacuuming you did, and make it all perfect. That's what it's all about. You're dusting and you're vacuuming to make it perfect, not because the earthquake came and messed up everything you did. That's the least of your concern. As long as the house is still standing, do it right. As I've told you many times, my father was a building contractor, and he didn't spend too much time with us kids because he was quite busy with his projects. But whenever we were with him, whenever he was around us, he would always tell us, "Now, kids, when I give you a job to do, do it the best you can. And remember, the best you can is much better than you think it is. And always remember that I expect the best out of you because you're my kids. And I don't have to tell you more than once, just like I don't tell my employees more than once about the jobs I want them to do. I tell them to do something and they go do it completely, perfectly, and wonderfully. And I expect the same out of you." Now, he didn't say that to us very often. But when he did, it came through. At least it came through to me. And it came through from the point of view that you do exactly what you're told to do and do it beautifully. He used to say, "Don't grab the hammer at the middle of the handle. Grab it on the end. Hold it firmly and properly. And let the hammer do the work." Oh, it's a little more work that way, because you have to get yourself in the habit of handling more weight, but you can do it. And when you hit the nail square on the head. Now, my dad never told me that when you hit the nail square on the head, you're hitting it on the square on the head in your mind. You're hitting it in your mind. This is where it's happening. It's happening in your thought. You can't always know how you're going to hit that hammer and how that hammer is going to come down and if that hammer is going to be square with the nail or not, unless you do it first in your mind. There's a young man on YouTube, and is from Germany or Yugoslavia or someplace, and he was in his 20s, and he was doing a juggling act with three hammers with very sharp ends on one side of them and everything. Very dangerous tool, which would seem awkward because it's a hammer. They're hammers. And he kept these three hammers going, and he was showing off, big smile on his face, so happy. Then he made the hammers so that they would go very high. And the cameraman backed off so you could see what he was doing. And the camera showed that the hammers were almost up to the ceiling. Then the young man had the hammers go to the actual ceiling and hit nails that were there sticking out of the stud, and he pounded them all the way in there, maybe a 10-penny spike, or an 8-penny spike, 12-penny. It's quite big, quite big. And each time he sent the hammer into his cycle, it went in bang and bang and bang with such power and strength. It was a big old metal hammer. And in no time at all, that nail was driven flush into the timber, and there were no marks around the edge of the nail where it had been hit and the timber was hit at the same time. The nail was just absolutely flush with the board, with the timber. Now, you cannot build a skill of doing that unless you have the skill in your mind first. And when you have the skill in your mind, then the hammer does exactly what you want it to do. As my father said, hit the nail square on the head and hold on to the end of the hammer and let the hammer do the work for you. And a golfer playing golf, he strikes at the ball, and his club could be in any number of strange and wonderful ways. But the mind of the golfer says, "I'm going to pick up the golf ball with my club in this particular stroke, and it's going to fly in this direction and go where I want it to go." All of these things are done in the mind. They're done with our thought. There was a promotion on television for selling subliminal learning, and it said that President Johnson, when he was running for president, had subliminal advertisements on radio and television. And the subliminal advertisements were, for instance, "Johnson is the man," "Johnson is the new president," Johnson is the only man for president, or some such thing. Words that were powerful. Well, he won very easily, and the subliminal advertising didn't hurt him at all. You and I do subliminal advertising in our mind all the time. We tell ourselves, I am nice, I am beautiful, I am whole and perfect, I like me. We tell ourselves, I have many friends, I am surrounded by beautiful people, I like me. We tell ourselves these things, and as we do this, we are building the skill to hit the nail right on the square on the head. We are building a skill to juggle hammers and have them go up to the ceiling and pound spikes into timbers at the ceiling. Most amazing feat. We are building our skill to play the piano. We are building our skill to drive the car. Why is it we say of a person, they drive like a chauffeur? Because a person who drives like a chauffeur is a person who drives with concern for the people in the car as well as what the road requires. The person who is a good chauffeur drives the car with skill and perfection, with the ability to keep the car properly maintained, with the ability to not use the brakes improperly, to use the gear shifting for the program that it's designed to be. The chauffeur driver makes the person sitting in the car feel like they're sitting in their living room chair just comfortably reading a magazine. Not one bit concerned about the traffic, nor one bit concerned about road conditions or the driving. Not one bit concerned, because the chauffeur drives like a chauffeur. He drives with precision. He drives with absolute care. And the people who are being driven by the chauffeur, who are passengers in the chauffeur's car, feel absolutely peaceful and content with whatever the chauffeur is doing. And this is because the chauffeur is built up in his own beingness that he is a good chauffeur. He said, I am a chauffeur. And what do you expect of a chauffeur but to drive with a class, to drive with perfection in everything you do? And when a wife calls her husband a clumsy driver, she's making him a clumsy driver. When a wife calls her husband a chauffeur, then when he drives and just always keeps saying to everybody, my husband drives just like a chauffeur. My husband is my chauffeur. He drives so perfectly, so beautiful. Well, that husband will drive with magic. Everyone will live up to whatever we call them. And if we're riding in a car and we're grabbing onto the handles and we're holding on because we're fearful of the ride we're taking, we're not building the car ride the way we want it. If we want a chauffeur-driven ride, treat the chauffeur as a chauffeur. Treat the driver as a chauffeur. Treat him as though you have respect in everything he does. Don't go driving for him. Don't look at the road and drive for him, because you're taking away his chauffeur-ness. And that's a silly thing to do. It's a real silly thing to do. We have the ability to do everything and to do it with our thought. We have the ability to do everything and to do it perfectly. We have the ability to do utterly magical things. But first, we have to do them in our mind. And when we do them in our mind, we can do them anywhere. Because when we do them in our mind, we have such a magic going for us. Such an universal consciousness going for us. Such a universal beingness revealing itself in our world, that everything is not only possible, everything is done. I am the chauffeur driver. I am the carpenter who can throw the hammer in the sky and put the nails into the timbers in the ceiling. I am the welder, the solderer, who makes perfect joints. And when it's getting close to my break time, I don't start something new. I just clean up or finish up what I've been doing. I always give enough time so that I can do every job I do perfectly. I do every job I do with all of my heart and soul and being. No matter how grand the task may be or how simple the task may be. If I have done it, you know it's done right. You never have to say, well, gee, I wonder if he's going to do a good job. And you don't say that. You say, oh, Herb's going to do it? Well, you can be sure it's going to sparkle when he's done. Because whenever Herb does a job, he does it perfectly. Isn't that a nice thing to have people say about you? Well, this is what people always say about me. And this is what I create people saying about me, because this is how I respond to my world, and this is how I respond to the opportunities before me to do anything, to do it perfectly. You can too. It's just a matter of making sure that whatever you do, that's the most important thing in the world to do, and you do it with all your heart and soul and being, and you love it unconditionally. And when you do that, it's easy to do it. Have a lovely day, and let everything you do be as much fun as the things are that I do. I love you. I love you. I love you.